Rock and roll football
on Absolute Radio
with Matt Ford and Matt Dyson.
Hello, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good whatever you call this time of the day that you're listening. We're not, you know, we don't know. You know, you could be listening to this years in the future. Whoa! Yeah, yeah. Imagine you're listening to this like in 1,000 years.
Yeah, wow. I wonder how the world would have changed.
Yeah, and there's no way of you telling us.
No, yeah, there's no interaction. Leave a review and then maybe we'll see it. Yeah.
On whatever like hoverboard app you listen on.
Yeah, exactly.
But let me just tell you, if you're listening to this in 1,000 years' time, 1,000 years ago, we recorded a show and we put out a podcast, and this is it.
Yeah.
This is a time capsule of what happened on a particular Saturday where there were some deeply disturbing results, Dyson.
Yes, deeply disturbing football results, deeply disturbing tales of bins being raided and potted beef being eaten left, right and centre, and many headaches caused.
I mean, you should know, at the time that we recorded this, potted beef had already effectively gone out of circulation. It was already a thing of the past. In 1,000 years...
There's no way.
Yeah.
No way it's going to stand the test of time.
Whatever kind of dust rations you're on in the future, whatever chrome goo you... whatever nutrient pouch.
NFTs, won't they, in the metaverse. That's it. That's going to be full of that.
Well... This is an echo from history. Enjoy.
Brace yourselves. It's time for the Rock and Roll Football Podcast.
Well, Dyson, a red-hot day of Premier League and footballing action on a red-hot footballing weekend. And here to preview it is the red-hot Matt Dyson.
Yes, with the UK in the grip of a fruit and veg crisis, we will make sure you get at least your 5 goals a day this afternoon on Rock and Roll Football. Welcome to the Ford and Dyson Gold Grocers. We will weigh them up, wrap them in a flipped-over brown paper bag, and then count back the change into your hand from our Absolute Radio-branded money belts, your hat tricks, your braces, your pens, your hands, your wallets. There'll be no rationing here, no turnips, just pure, fresh, sweet footballing goodness. Some saying the empty shells are down to poor weather conditions in Morocco and Spain, and that Spanish wind has also blown over a forgotten Premier League manager to our shores. Even though we'd rather have out-of-season tomatoes and lettuce, we welcome the return of Javi Gracia. What, that guy who was sacked by Watford back in 2019? Yes, him! It's not clear at this stage whether this means they're trying to stay up or are planning for the Championship next season.
Oh.
Gracia says he's only been getting 2 or 3 hours sleep a night as he works on his plan to save Leeds. That's less than Thatcher used to get. No doubt free milk at the training ground will be the first thing to go. The first games don't get any bigger or important than today's a 6-pointer at Elland Road. The bottom two playing each other as Southampton come to town. They've also gone for quite an underwhelming managerial appointment this week. Fellow Spaniard Ruben Celes, after he got a win at Chelsea last weekend, the former first team coach is being kept on until the end of the season. Again, not clear whether this means they're trying to stay up or are planning for the Championships next season. He can't be any worse than Nathan Jones, though, can he? Surely. Away from Elland Road, there are some other big games going on. We have... wait a minute, I've just lost my place in the script. What's going on?
What? How did you lose... Wait, what are you reading it off?
I'm reading off my phone notes. Unbelievable. I can't believe it. Yeah, so Arsenal go to Leicester City before the Man City Bournemouth game later. Dyche's Everton are at home to Aston Villa. Forest away at West Ham.
Good.
Surely if the Hammers lose to Stevie Cooper's Haaland taming heroes, Moyes' days will be numbered. So much going on. The Championship, the Scottish Premiership. Our shelves are stacked. Get some fresh and fruity football from your gold grocers. Open all hours. Well, from 2 till 5pm.
Oh, Dyson, you're a genius. And you're losing your way.
I lost my way. I was floundering for a second. I nearly started reading out last week's Red Hot Premier League.
I imagine. Do you keep them all, do you, for posterity?
Well, they're all just in my notes and I don't delete them. So, yeah, they're just clogging up the space on my phone. What I was going to say, but I ran out of time, was in this sort of open all hours scenario, you would obviously be Arkwright, Fordy. I would be Gurgur Granville.
Yeah.
And producer Liam would be Nurse Gladys Emmanuel. But he probably has no idea who she
is. Liam was born in 1996. Five. Well, in 1995, you've got no idea.
No idea. Well, that's maybe his homework for the week, to go home and watch Open All Hours.
He's born in 1995. He's not old enough for homework yet, mate. Still doing his sats. Welcome to Ford and Dyson's Goal Grocers. I do like, yes. You know what? It's made me quite, well, it's made me very nostalgic for the times when you'd walk along the promenade and there'd be a butcher's and a baker's and greengrocers. Those words make you hungry, don't they?
Yeah, small independent retailers. Yeah, those were the days, weren't they, eh?
We all got subsumed by megaliths like supermarkets.
Yeah.
But the thing they used to do in greengrocers where, you know, they would count back your change, you mentioned it.
Yeah.
But they would do it so fast, it was like dazzling. 5 and 6 is 15, and that's 35.
5, 6, like, 2, 3. Yeah.
What?
The oddments. They always used to count down the numbers. And I've never known how they did it. I never know. It didn't make any monetary sense to me, what they were saying.
But it's like the speed mental arithmetic of a darts player.
Yeah,
it's just in there. Yeah. They're just and they're just doing it so. They're almost like horse racing commentators on the left side. Whoa!
Yeah, your twos, your threes, your fives, your twos. Yeah, because they're all doing it. It's all in their head. They had no calculators back then. They're doing it on the back of a paper bag often, weren't they?
But just it was the additions they do. 5 and 10 to 15, and that's 25. You're like, well, yeah. I mean, obviously that's easy. I get that 5 and 10, but you know, twos and threes start getting involved.
Yeah, your fives, your twos, your threes, your sevens, your 73B change. There you go. Oh, thank you.
Oh, lovely. See you next. Nice to meet you on TikTok. See you next week. It's made me really want to go to a greengrocer.
Yeah,
go to like a butcher.
Buy some apples off some AstroTurf. You know, they always had it on the shelves, didn't they? An early form of AstroTurf on the shelves.
Yes.
The green.
Butcher's grass, it's called. Isn't it?
Is it? Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Butcher's
grass. It's like Astro, yeah.
Yeah,
God, should we go to the greengrocers afterwards?
Yeah, let's do it.
Support your local greengrocer, guys. Even just the name greengrocer.
I know, so old school.
Oh,
isn't it?
I can almost smell the Brussels.
Yeah, but look, they're having a resurgence now. Supermarket shelves are empty. There's nowhere else to go.
Got to go to your greengrocers. If you are a greengrocer or a butcher, or you're working one of those, especially in areas now, be the last one thanks to supermarket. Text us on 8 12 15. If you can do the really fast counting, maybe try and get them on the phone.
Or
if you ever
that.
Worked in a greengrocer, you can do that really fast. It's almost like rapping, isn't it? It's basically early British rap.
It was like freestyling with change.
Just spitting. I'd just be there, just like that's where I first got into. bars.
Yeah.
I am so excited. I can't believe already someone's been in touch. It's Hamish the Butcher, and he joins us now.
Hello, Absolute Radio.
Oh, mate, so. Firstly, where's your butchers?
We're in central London, in Holborn.
Oh, slap bang in the centre of town.
Nice.
And are you there right now?
Down. Yeah, well, we're closing up.
But you were listening to the show in the butchers?
Yeah, of course we are.
Yes.
Yes, love it.
Of all the things you sell, what's your favourite?
Oh, look, you can't go wrong with a bit of ribeye steak, can you?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The rib adding the flavour. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, do you still have butcher's grass? Do you have butcher's grass?
No. Yes. No, we do. We do. Look, I'm a bit of a trainee butcher, so I'm not, like, fully experienced, but...
Who's that laughing in the background? And what does he... Like, how long do you become a trainee for? How does it work?
Right, I've been in the trade for about a year now. I'd say I'm nearly there, you know what I mean? I'm not far off.
Like, when you effectively graduate, will you let us know and we'll get you back on?
Yeah, I'll let you guys know. I'll text in, I'll graduate, and you can get me back on.
What do you make of all these vegetarians, Hamish?
Well, my mum's a vegetarian, so she she wasn't too pleased.
But, have you rebelled against your upbringing then?
Yeah.
So funny. And does she say, oh, Hamish, what, you can't be touching animals like that?
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, what's your favourite vegetarian food to eat?
Do you know what? I'm going to go interesting here. I like a bit of tofu.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realise how nice it is.
Totally agree. Oh, Hamish, you're such a modern butcher.
Yes, I am the future.
You are the future. You are. We're going to celebrate your future. Hamish, we'll get you back on once you've... What do you call it? Passed out?
Let's call it that. I'll text in. I'll get the approval and I'll get, like, a little certificate.
Yes, amazing. Hamish,
so do you wear like a little mortarboard and still like your blood-covered apron when you graduate?
Hamish, have a great weekend, mate.
Yeah, sick. Lovely speaking.
Cheers. Cheers.
Nice, Hamish.
The Rock and Roll Football Podcast with Matt Ford and Matt Dyson.
Really made me want to eat meat.
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
Because you are still a practicing vegetarian, aren't you?
Well, I'm a meat producer.
When was last time you had some meat?
Last night.
Oh, right, yes.
I had a steak yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what's made me really want? Potted beef.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Potted beef. A little glass jar. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Plastic nice. Tub.
Is it still nice? Are there better pâtés on the market? I don't know.
Maybe there are. I mean, these days, God knows what sort of pâtés available these days at your Waitrose's and your M&S's.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine?
Exactly.
Oh.
It feels like potted beef is more sort of like that sort of dog food level now, isn't
dog
it?
Dog food? How dare you?
Yeah, I think our tastes have moved on a bit, and that's still sort of left for animals now.
What are you on about? Firstly, you're saying that I'm the pâté of the past. What do you mean left for animals? Yeah. There'll be human beings to this who eat potted beef. You basically just called dogs.
Oh, there's not going to be many.
I'm telling you, there will be an army of potted beef lovers listening to this.
Because dog food is high level.
Stop saying that people are eating dog food.
Dog food is good quality. It's human grade.
How would you know?
Dogs are eating human grade food now. Because our dogs eat really nice food with like vegetables and stuff in it. Humans can eat it. But that means, I just think that because it's really old fashioned, like sort of pre-war meat in a jar. I mean, it seems to last forever, even though it's in a jar and you keep it in your cupboard. It can't be the best quality beef going in there, can it? Surely.
I'm not saying, I'm celebrating. I'm gonna treat myself to a pot of potted beef. I'm saying, thinking of a butcher's made me want some potted beef.
Okay,
I'm not pretending it's like haute cuisine.
Just be careful.
All right. Well, you've obviously taken against it.
No, I've got no problem before you text in with anyone who's eating it right now. If that happens to be happening, it would be a miracle. But I don't even know if you can still buy it, can you?
Do you know what? You know sometimes that people wonder, you must be able to get it. Okay, I'm going to Google it. And I'm going to find out if dogs eat it. Oh, goals, goals, goals in Coventry.
Yes, it's almost over at the... Is it still called the Ricoh Arena?
It is.
So, yeah, good. It is all over. The final whistle has gone. They made a bit of hard work of it late on, Coventry, but they have held on to win 2-1 against Sunderland. Just conceded a late goal in stoppage time, but they went 2-0 up just before the end of the game. So they will be celebrating 2-for-1 on battered sausages at the Binley Mega Chippy tonight for everyone.
They will indeed. And, if you're going to the Binley Mega Chippy... Well, I guess a chip shop is almost in the same genre as the greengrocer, the butcher. What was the other one we mentioned? Those old shops.
The bakers. The candlestick makers,
the Quakers, the bakers.
Not some score for that anymore, but yeah.
Phil in London's been in touch on this very matter.
Oh, yes.
He says, both of my brothers worked on a fruit and vegetable doing all of the quick maths on a whole range of veg in pounds and kilograms. I cleaned my school as my teenage years job. They've both gone on to well-paid numbers-based jobs, and I genuinely think it was a factor, says Phil.
Wow.
So actually working in a greengrocer's, yeah.
It wasn't just about the start of freestyle rapping on the market stalls of Britain. It was also about giving you a good grounding in mathematics.
Also, I love those, like, money... They weren't bum bags. They were more like money aprons.
They were hoisted around their waist.
A kind of suede look and fingerless gloves.
Oh, yeah. It was all part of the experience, wasn't it?
I guess, in a way, a newsagent is still the version of that.
Yes. Yeah, they're still traditional. Like, they're like they were 20, 30 years ago, pretty much.
I love the smell of a newsagent. The smell of the sweets.
Yeah.
The smell of the print.
Yeah, yeah. I walk past one sometimes in the morning, just as it's opening at about 5 in the morning, and they open the shutters, and it's such a lovely poetic moment for the newsagent, and then the smell wafts out, that mix of ink and Mars bars and Skittles. I love it.
And all the urine on the shutters where the people have weed the night before, the sick on the pavement, just like, this really is the smell of Britain. Just a few minutes away from those 3 o'clock kickoffs around the country, including four big Premier League games: Everton versus Villa, Leeds versus Southampton, an aeroplane taking off in the background, Leicester against Arsenal, and West Ham against Forest. Where are you, local aerodrome?
It's the motorbike riders, isn't it? It's the bikers. The B word.
It's the fact that they come straight through your living room that I think is really rude.
I know. Well, it's because they're coming down to the sea, aren't they? It's a nice sunny day. They're coming down to the sea. They don't care about me trying to do a show from my bedroom.
Them bloody bikers. They use it like a rat run round here. The police don't do nothing. They'll wait until there's an accident, they'll do nothing.
Exactly.
And then it'll be too late. They use it like a rat run, them Harley Davidsons. I said to them Hell's Angels, you wouldn't do it on your own doorstep, would you? He battered me.
Sounds like a scene from a Shane Meadows film.
Doesn't it? We've had the Hell's Angels round, yeah. They use it like a rat run. Patricia, who's a Geordie in Grimsby, says... Yes. Potted beef is alive and well in our house. My partner has it in his food every week.
In his pack up,
his pack lunch. Yeah. She says it looks like dog food. To be fair, the Geordie in me wouldn't touch it with a barge pole.
Wow,
Patricia hates it, but her partner loves it.
Wow,
potted beef
dividing relationships. We can't agree on it, 40. The nation can't agree on potted beef.
It's the new Brexit.
Yeah.
I'm 52-48 on potted beef. Leroy's cousin's been in touch.
He says, yes.
You can buy potted beef at the North Weld Market meat auction. 24 jars will set you about 18 quid. Who's buying 24 jars of it?
Bulk buying potted beef.
It's like a crate of Holston, but all beef. Imagine coming back with that. People, I've been down the off licence. Now I've been to the butchers. I've got 24 pints of meat.
Matt, and you. Rock and roll football.
Those first halves are now underway. The 3 o'clocks, including Nuneaton Borough against Rushton and Diamond. So, Dyson, take us to our glory hunters' home.
Ah, well, we've learnt so much about Nuneaton on this unbeaten run they've been on over the past few weeks. Eton became Nuneaton, of course, when a huge convent was set up there in the 12th century. As we know, I'm just recapping here.
We all know.
But, amazing to look at the league table. They've been doing so well, Nuneaton Borough have, in the Southern League Premier Central. They are now in the playoff spots, firmly entrenched in the playoff spots, just 8 points off the top spot where Tamworth dwell at the moment. And today, really, they should win this. They're playing Rushton and Diamonds, who are rock bottom of the table. And it's a away trip, but Rushton and Diamonds not in good form at the moment. Now, when it comes to Nuneaton facts, we've been hitting you with so many over the past few weeks. And a new one has come in from someone called Michael Sawyer on Twitter, who tells us this. Get this. Did you know the first ever meeting of the Campaign for Real Ale was held at the Rose Inn in Nuneaton?
I did not know that.
What an amazing fact.
That's great.
An amazing fact. Now, he said that on Twitter. The Nuneaton branch of Camera did get in touch and said, slight correction.
Oh, dear.
The first AGM of Camera was held at the Rose Inn, Cotton Road, 26th of March, 1972. So the fact doesn't sound quite as good when you say the first annual general meeting of the Campaign for Real Ale happened in Nuneaton in 72. What an amazing fact. Take that away with you. Tell your family and friends that one later on in the pub.
You know what I love about that fact is how he managed to string it out over 3 minutes. One fact just waffled all over. But it is interesting.
It is, isn't it? But birthplace of the Campaign for Real Ale.
Be desperate for Nuneaton to lose now.
Well, I am, yeah. We're really scraping the barrel. In fact, dear old Tracy keeps tweeting me facts about Nuneaton. Even she's running out. She said she saw a manhole cover outside her sister's house which had Nuneaton written on it.
That's cool. They make covers.
They make manhole covers as well. So it's Campaign for Real Ale, it's manhole covers, it's Nuneaton, and we're backing them all the way to promotion. Come on!
Heck of a game in the Championship at the Hawthorns, Dyson.
Yeah, West Brom already 2-0 up. 2 goals in 2 minutes from Daryl Dyke. amazing against Borough as well. So doing very well. Frank Skinner will be pleased. Burnley are already 1-0 up against Huddersfield as well. And Reading have just scored against Blackpool. Tom Ince scoring for Reading.
Yeah, I am quite happy. Yes. I mean, I thought we've scored two already. Very peculiar. Feels like sacrilege. One day I'm going to get told off for that. It's 0-0 in every Premier League game at the moment, and in our Glory Hunters game between Nuneaton Borough and Rushton and Diamonds. But in potted beef news, Debbie Harrison says potted beef is definitely still a thing in Yorkshire. I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. Can I ask, what do people touch with a barge pole? What would you touch with a barge pole?
A barge? I think a barge. Do you move a barge along the side of a canal? Is that what it is for?
Says, oh, I'd touch that with a barge pole.
No. Yeah. They never do, no. You never hear it. So, yeah, we're getting quite a few confirmed sightings of not many people who will actually admit to eating it.
But someone's got it. If the market still exists, what we've discovered is there's a whole load of secret potted beef eaters. Once again, it's this show that really discovers what's going on out there in the country. Andrew in Bingham. Isn't that interesting? Because Bingham's was the brand. Potted beef is readily available at Bird's Bakery in Nottingham.
Oh, yes.
He says,
classic.
Wife loves it and spreads it everywhere. Brackets, yes, everywhere.
Really? He spreads it everywhere? Wow, okay.
I'm guessing just bread. I mean, people get up to all sorts. It tends to be chocolate, doesn't it? Chocolate and strawberries are the kind of cliches of... It's never potted beef, is it?
No.
Tell you what, for our anniversary, do that thing you do with the potted beef.
Glory Hunters on Rock and Roll Football.
A goal in the Glory Hunters game.
I know, amazing.
Up
the Borough, I know. Sorry, VAR looking at the Arsenal game, by the way. We'll let you know what happens there. But yes, McWilliams finds Benbo in the box. Benbo absolutely smashes it into the net. 1-0 up, Nuneaton Borough are beating Rushton and Diamonds 1-0.
Sounds like Nottingham Forest are under the cosh away at West Ham United, by the way.
Lucky to still be nil-nil.
Oh, dear me. But maybe that means we're good at soaking up the pressure or hit them on the break or something like that. I'm not entirely sure. But as you say, Arsenal, the only goal so far in the Premier League. And this week, Mikel Arteta revealed that Fabio Vieira is giving him big headaches when deciding on his... Oh, my word.
Whoever's involved in this, stop it, because you're ruining football for everybody.
Love it, yeah. The Arsenal goal's been ruled out by
denied.
There we go. Denied. It's been denied.
All over the place with these buttons. Pressing
I
any
like
old
that
thing.
New one. Yeah.
So what is if Fabio Vieira is Mikel Arteta's big headache? What gives you a big headache? Text us on 8-12-15. I mean, it can be anything. Do you know, as a kid, I mean, and feel free to interpret this metaphorically or literally. Coffee cream chocolates in a milk tray would give me a headache.
They would literally give you a headache.
Literally give me a headache.
Literally and physiologically give you a headache. Would that, what, a specific type of...
Maybe it's just caffeine. Maybe it's not meant for a 7-year-old boy.
Wow. I mean, yeah, I do get, if I don't have a coffee on the weekend, you know, because I am a 2-cup-a-day guy.
Yeah.
And if I don't have one, I will get the headache, that caffeine withdrawal. Now I'm an addict. Yeah,
and they are.
I have to have it.
And metaphorically, well, I mean,
yes.
What gives you a headache?
So much stuff. The cost of fuel, my phone battery life. You know, my phone battery life is always giving me a headache. I always have it when I get to the end of a life of an iPhone where it stops charging properly. Mm. Right? And you know, the bit at the bottom of the phone where it goes in, it goes all wonky. And sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and think, great, I'm going to have 100% full charge here. And it's like 10%.
Yeah.
Horrible source of headaches. But that and my dog's a constant headache, Fred. He can get into our pedal bin.
What do you mean get into it?
Well, my wife bought a new pedal bin and it's not quite high up, it's not tall enough. So the dog can, he can sort of, he's found a way of pushing the pedal down, getting his little snout into the bin.
And like, doing what?
He'll just grab whatever's in there and take it out into the garden, spray it all over the lawn. So sometimes it's just food, but sometimes and it's quite grim, and it is really. My baby son's nappies. He takes them out and he just throws them all over the garden. It's horrendous.
Dusty, you can't live like this. You can't have your dog eating your kid's nappies. Some small bin that your dog's evolved like a raptor to open the doors in Jurassic Park.
I know, it's like that. I put a little stool on top of the bin at all times. So
I think it's the little stools that you're spraying all over the garden by the sounds of it. Charlie in Gravesend says, Dyson, put a small baking tray over the top of the bin. The noise of the baking tray falling on the ground will deter your dog from opening the bin. I had the same problem with my Labrador, and we no longer need a baking tray, and he leaves the bin alone.
Excellent. I am going to act upon that straight away. Lovely. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wow. I really am. That's great advice. I'm going to try that, Charlie. So if you hear any clattering sounds in the background, you'll know
what we always do, Dyson. It's like you live in a funhouse, mate. It's like you live in some booby-trapped... It's like you're in the final part of The Goonies, your house. It's like bikers coming through, stuff collapsing, your dog's eating nappies out of the bin. Social services are going to be listening to this. You'll be the first person investigated for stuff you said on the radio. You're like, man...
Convicted over background noises. Yeah, what a way to go.
Noise is one of my headaches, actually.
Yeah.
I tell you what I don't like, and this can sound really bad, but if you're in a restaurant or a pub, people making too much noise.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a loud laugh, and I'm slightly self-conscious about it. But you know when it's just continual squawking?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, it's when they're not self-aware. You're aware of your loud laugh. You're like going, I better turn it down a little bit. But some people, they don't care about how their behaviour affects other people.
Yeah,
think they can be as noisy as they like.
I wear a muzzle because I'm so...
Yeah, quite right, so, yeah.
I mean, that would solve your problem, wouldn't it? Shouldn't you just put a muzzle on your dog and then it can't...
Yeah, I might try that as well. Yeah, good advice, keep it coming.
Or like one of those sort of Hannibal Lecter masks. Imagine seeing a dog wearing one of them. He'll eat that nappy with a fine Chianti. John in Shropshire's been in touch. He says, whilst on the first day of dog sitting, having worked a night shift, I was woken by an angry neighbour asking if I had two dogs. I was really confused, but eventually remembered that I had indeed taken temporary custody of the foul beasts who were running around the garden with the neighbour's underpants on their heads.
Dogs
been drinking? He says the 2 weeks did not go well and culminated in the dogs eating 6 Easter eggs, 2 packets of digestives and a packet of Viscounts. A trip to the vets and a very expensive end to my one and only dog sitting venture.
Viscounts! Dog sitter. No, yes, they can't eat chocolate, can they? You've got to be careful.
So why do they eat so much of it?
They'll just eat anything. Well, my Fred will just eat anything.
Well, I mean, if Fred's eating nappies, then a dairy milk is hardly hardly a bigger problem than that. But can you still get Viscounts?
I know, it's very old school, isn't it?
Liam's born in 1995. I mean, he has got no idea what to... Oh, he knows a Viscount, right.
He's like Viscounts, potted beef, open all hours.
Baking trays. What? Oh, good news!
On football.
They've scored again. The Borough are 2-0 up. Is that right? Is that what we're hearing?
You tell me.
Let me just look on their Twitter feed. Oh, yes. Stanson strikes 39 minutes in. A floating ball over the top is tapped in by Stenson. They're 2-0 up. Thank for the people that are sending in Nuneaton facts, because I think I'm going to need them next week.
Yeah, what I would just gently say is, I think, you know, if you Google something, you can always find out quite a lot about it.
Yeah, look, I tell you, I've exhausted that Wikipedia page.
Yeah, well...
It's a small town in the West Midlands. There's not much to say about it.
Just go beyond the Wikipedia page. That's what we're looking for, is the second ball. And I think there'll be really interesting stuff about Nuneaton.
No, look, I've done it. Larry Grayson lived there, you know what I mean? That's as exciting and showbiz as it got.
People will be listening to the show in Nuneaton now saying we have a proud and rich history that goes way beyond our Wikipedia page. Come here, learn about our teachings, learn about our ways and our culture. Maybe you need to go there in the week.
Yeah, possibly, yeah, on some sort of scouting mission for facts.
Could we be the first ever major radio station to do an outside broadcast from Nuneaton?
Oh, now that would be good, wouldn't it? Yeah, from that Beefeater that used to be the famous writer's home. That would be a nice place to do it.
Now you're talking.
Yes.
Now you're talking. I think. Do you know what? I think the country's ears just pricked up and said, "You know what? He's on." That was like a really good Dragon's Den pitch. You know when it turns when two dragons have already ruled themselves out, and then they say something. They go, "Oh, actually, last year's turnover was £2 billion."
Yes. And then there's a bidding war, and they've got to talk to the wall. Yeah. It's happening. Yeah.
Peter Jones goes, "Despite what I said earlier, I'm going to make you an offer."
Yeah.
You go, "Oh yes, Peter. Yes." Imagine you took potted beef on Dragon's Den.
Oh, wow, yes. I mean, yeah, Meaden's in it straight out, but, you know, I reckon Tuca Suleiman's got a... Tuca Suleiman could invest.
I could give you Central London offices. I could give you Central London offices.
Always,
I could production
right,
line. I could get potted beef into every butcher's in the country.
What a niche impression. I did not know you
never tried it before. It wasn't bad, was
love
it?
I it's really good, yeah. Very
now, you
accurate.
May know, I am involved in the potted meat industry. It's getting worse. It's got a bit
kisser. It's getting a bit raw.
But imagine pitching it. If potted beef didn't exist, saying, "Hello, dragons, what I'm here for today is £100,000 investment for 5% of my company." Mm. The meat market is not only a usually disparaging phrase about a particular pub in town, but also it is a growing area of the culinary landscape. We think it's worth about £5 billion a year. What we want to do is give beef in a new way where you process it, you push it down into a little pot and you
tiny put a jar.
A thick layer of yellow lard on top. And we think we can sell this predominantly to men in their 40s. I'm going to make you an offer. Jane in Shropshire has been in touch. She's married to John from Shropshire, who's, when he dogs out those dogs, they ate the Viscount.
Oh,
keep up at the back. He says, John actually went to catering college in Nuneaton in the 90s.
No way.
Didn't finish the course, but he's doing lamb, pitta and Greek salad for tea. Do you want to do the show from here next week?
Oh, wow. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? In Shropshire. In a back garden in Shropshire.
Nicer than your back garden. It'd be nice for you. It must be, it'd be a real novelty for you to just go and see a back garden that hasn't got chewed napping all over the back of it.
No, it would be nice. Yeah, just Viscount biscuits, left, right and centre. It'd be lovely.
I'd love to see you on... Is Ground Force still on? You know when they change people's gardens? What we've done is, as a bit of a concept, we've got rid of the discarded dog-chewed nappy and we're just putting some normal grass.
I love what you've done there.
What we've done, we've built a rack for you in your kitchen where you can just store all your baking trays. We just put that right above the bin. We just thought it'd be helpful. Jim in Rotherham says, it's the poorest of meats. In Yorkshire, we call it potted dog. Would you have it?
What, potted dog?
Yeah, if they say, look, it tastes really good.
Oh, no. No. I mean, no, I don't think so. Would you?
I probably would. If they said, look, just trust me, it tastes really nice. It's got a sort of plum sauce. Oh, God, I'd have a go on it.
Potted dog.
Liam's never... Liam's 15. He's never heard of potted meat or, like, the BBC or anything. Like, newspapers mean nothing to this guy. Got landlines. His just eyes just glaze over.
Wow.
But text us on 8-12-15. What gives you a headache? Patricia in Grimsby says... Making potted beef sarnies gives me a headache.
Oh, we can't get away from potted beef.
It's become like a national obsession. Obviously, people are really, really into it.
They are. Yeah, well, it's a real love-hate thing, isn't it? It's like, never mind Marmite, it's potted beef. You either love it or you hate it and it gives you a headache.
I wonder if butchers this week will be saying, we're shifting a lot of potted beef this week.
Yeah.
What's going on out there? maybe it's the weather or something, but...
Yeah.
And someone might say, maybe they've talked about potted beef on the radio. They go, no one would do that. It'd be like announcing that Forest have got a corner. It'd just be absolutely pointless. Well, the big game today is West Ham United against Nottingham Forest. Friend of the show, Chris Skull, is the host of the London Stadium, and he joins us now. He's at the game. Scully, how's it going?
Oh, man, it's so tense. You know what? It's proper... end-to-end stuff now.
Proper!
Oh, man. The tension's ratcheting up. This is a game now. Oh, no. Oh.
But who's playing better?
Who's playing better?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say us, but not by much. In the first half, we definitely had the better of it. But in the second half, Forest really get... When you get forward, your fans are in such full voice that there's a moment. And also, I text you in the first half and said it wasn't 10. I take that back. It is now 10.
Does it scare you?
Yeah, I'm scared now.
You're intimidated by people from Nottingham.
Oh.
Yeah, I checked. I walked past the away end earlier and, there's enough wrong ones in there.
So many.
Nottingham's naughtiest boys all out in London. Oh, man. If you had to put a fiver on a final score, what would you put a fiver on?
Oh, if I put a fiver on... If someone's going to nick this, it's going to be a 1-0. I never bet on West Ham, so I would put a fiver on Forest.
Wow!
At least if we lost, I would have made some money. Do you know what I mean?
Do it!
But no.
Okay. Scully, you're a legend, mate.
Oh, thank you. You're bringing on Andre Ayew once of this parish. Oh,
yeah, yes. You got a problem with that?
What's that?
You got a problem with that?
He's old, but he can still do a job.
He's proper!
One of your 5,000 new signings. Here he comes.
Salty boy.
Banter.
I'm surprised you can see him from all the way back in the stand, so far away from the pitch, eh?
Well, I'm in the press box and I've got a little monitor, so...
That's you told. Enjoy the rest of the game, Scully.
Cheers, mate.
Next on Rock and Roll Football, it's Munch of the Day. Munch of the Day. So, what are people eating with Match of the Day tonight, Dyson?
Sammy is dining on nothing but potted beef and Viscount biscuits after the show today. Lacey and Nuneaton is going to the Beef Eater where George Eliot used to live, up the Borough. By the way, they are on the verge of winning 2-1. Rushton and Diamond's got a goal back, but Nuneaton live to fight another day.
Oh,
they're
mate.
2-1 up with just minutes to go. Elsewhere, Mick... up north doing the washing up has recommended putting potted beef on toast under the grill, which would add a whole new twist to it, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Very nice.
Warmed up potted beef might be worth a try.
A connoisseur in our midst. Two-time Tony says he's going to have fish and chips with spaghetti hoops.
Oh, yes.
Does that ruin... I'm allergic to fish. But would spaghetti hoops ruin the fish?
I mean... I suppose it's like beans, really, isn't it? But it's like it's sort of like two carbs together with fish. I don't know if I would recommend.
I don't think
it.
Rick Stein has ever said the best way to enjoy this fish is with a nice tin of spaghetti hoops.
No, certainly not. I don't think I'm going to bother with Match of the Day, to be honest, though. I think anybody out watching that,
not bothered.
4-0 defeat for Forest.
Final whistle has gone. Leeds have beaten Southampton 1-0.
Big win for Arsenal as well. The 1-0 win at Leicester. Martinelli with the only goal. The final whistle's gone there.
Steve says he's going to have a chicken Caesar salad with a side of chips.
Oh, very nice. Ooh,
that's kind of...
Unusual sides.
Well, I'll tell you what I like about that. Yeah, you know, like, that Caesar dressing's a bit like salad cream, isn't it? And I used to love putting salad cream on chips when I was at school.
Yeah, I haven't done that for a long time. I haven't had any salad cream for a long time. Another thing in a glass jar that lasts for ages in the cupboard.
Fridge. Surely.
Well, I think a lot of people just store it in the cupboard.
You know, not once it's been open.
We haven't got time to go into this.
But no wonder you're always ill.
You're listening to the Rock and Roll Football Podcast.
The Seance of the Living on Rock and Roll Football. Send us your questions and Matt Dyson will summon a spirit through the void to answer them.
Yes, the latest score's on the way, surely.
Should we touch on it now?
Just seconds after Scully said he wouldn't put £5 on West Ham scoring. They've not scored just one. But Danny Ings has just scored a second, so there, West Ham. We cursed it by calling Scully, I think.
We cursed it. We slagged him off. We were like hyenas, laughing at him, mocking him, and now look what's happened.
Two goals in the space of 3 minutes, straight after we go live to the ground. That happens.
We shouldn't talk about football on this show ever again. We should just talk about potted beef. And everything will be fine.
And getting in touch with celebrities through the power of the other side medium stuff, which is what we're doing now. So let's see who we can summon for the a specific request from Tom on Twitter for Roy Walker and his thoughts on the 4-day working week. A lot of trials have been successful apparently, but will the former Catchphrase host and Mr. Chips be in favour? Come in, Roy.
You know, Mr. Chips was always in favour of it, I gotta tell you. It's good. I used to say to Mr. Chips, this is a 7-day-a-week job, Catchphrase. You know, people would just say it on ITV Saturday afternoon, watching it with the family, so they did. They'd think we'd just turn up and read it out, but I gotta tell you, 7 days a week, I was thinking of those catchphrases.
Oh, yeah.
There was no production team. It was just me and Mr. Chips. And yeah, let me tell you, he did not pull his weight.
No. He had to act them out, though, didn't he? Surely.
Come on. I'm the one writing all that. I'm saying, Mr. Chips, at the very least, start with a phrase like, you know, between the bin and the bacon tray and work backwards. Well-known phrases, catchphrase. He would not pull his weight. He'd just bounce around, do that weird thing with his arms. I'd say, what are you doing the other 6 days of the week? You're banging on about a 4-day week. I see you're working 1 day a week. I said, a 4-day week for you, that'd be 3 extra working days, so it would. Well, he never spoke, not to me. He was mute, a sort of mute robot. We talked about this before. I actually have no idea. We never knew as a production team.
He just sort of toddled
into the office one day. And we adopted him. And we thought it was very strange. We actually don't know if he's up this earth, but, you know, he was very much... I think I can say this now because I don't work with him. He was a militant trade unionist, Mr. Chips.
Was he?
Oh, my, everything was... You know, every 5 minutes, you needed 20 minutes off.
So bullshit.
I said, isn't it the other... That was it. He'd say, every 15 minutes, I need 3 hours off. I said, it's meant to be the other way around. He said, you try that. You try this one, Mick Lynch. I said, who's that? This was the 80s. I said, don't you mean Mr. Scargill? He said, mark my words, you will know the name. But he wrote it down, of course, because like I said, he was mute. Very strange character, Mr. Chips. You know, a mute robot socialist.
Yeah.
You don't get many of those.
No.
You don't get many of them at all, but I guess, you know what, these days I'm in favour of it. I think give people a wee bit of leisure time. The question is, what other day do they get off? You know, you got your Saturday and your Sunday. Do you take the Friday? Do you take the Monday? Do you something very strange? Do you take the Wednesday?
Ooh.
You know what, Mr. Chips, what he would say to me on email, he would say, I'm just going to take random days off and I'm not going to tell you. I said, look, you can't do that. You've got to let me know. I said, you're really leaving me between a bin and a bacon tree here, Mr. Chips.
Oh, yes. That's a catchphrase.
What are you up to? That sounded like someone else, I gotta tell you. We thought you were having a wee private moment there, man. Never do that on air again. It was disgusting.
Rock and roll football.
Podcast done.
Well, you know what? I loved talking about potted beef. And I'm going to try and get some. I'm going to try and get some this week.
Let's try some next week. I mean, I think, you know, I haven't had it for a long time. Maybe we should give it another chance.
Let's give potted beef another chance.
That's all we're saying.
Beef a chance. What should we have it on? What do you want it on?
I think some sort of toasted bread. You know, like those sort of dry, sort of toasted bits of bread you can get. What are they called?
Toast.
Not biscotti, but like almost like a savoury biscotti.
I know exactly what you mean.
Mm.
Yes, yeah, almost like halfway between a Rivita and stiff. You'd use them for canapés if you were so inclined.
Yeah, or a bruschetta. Yeah.
Ooh, bruschetta. Do you know what? I just love Italian food.
Yes, so do I.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Why don't we make potted beef bruschettas where we get the sort of bruschetta-sized piece of bread, smear it in potted beef, and then sprinkle on top a tomato, garlic, onion mix.
Oh, a little Italian twist on a British classic. Yes.
Fusion food, that's what they call it.
Yes. Potted beef for a new generation.
Oh, this is now. We started in the past, now we're in the future. Narrative arc is complete.
Yeah.
See you next week for our potted beef.
Potted history of beef.
Oh, yeah. It's lovely.